Have y'all been enjoying this beautiful weather? Well, I'll tell you, it's been really nice. It's like we really actually have a spring. You know how sometimes we just kind of go from cold weather to heat? So I'm certainly enjoying it. I hope you are. Let's prepare ourselves this evening in our usual fashion. I believe you all know our standard SOP. We take a moment of silent prayer to clear the decks of anything that might be distracting. Also gives us a chance to name privately to God the Father any unconfessed sins, which ensures the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we have so much to be thankful for today. It's imperative that we continue our spiritual momentum, moving forward to the high ground of spiritual maturity. And we do that by being humble, by being obedient to your commands, to rely on the mentorship of God the Holy Spirit. Without your direction, without your revelation to us, we would be lost and adrift. We thank you that you have set our feet upon the solid rock of your word. We pray that you will impress upon us how vitally important it is for us to take the written word and to transfer it into our souls, into our cardia, as epinosis doctrine. For without that, we will surely become casualties. We pray that you will help us to put our full attention and our concentration on the word that is being taught this evening. For we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. We are continuing our study of the mechanics of applying doctrine. And for the last several weeks, we have been noting various mental attitude sins. The purpose of going over these mental attitude sins is, first of all, for you to recognize them in your own soul, not others. You're never commanded to notice and focus on the weaknesses, the foibles, the sins of others, but on your own. And some of these sins you may not get into all the time. It might not be your area of weakness, but there can be a certain set of circumstances that may stimulate this area of mental attitude sins. And the first item on the agenda with regards to handling these mental attitude sins is to recognize them. And that's what we're doing. We're looking at these to recognize them in ourselves, and then we're learning the pertinent doctrines that will neutralize them. When I first started this series, I made a point, and I reiterate it now, you can control what you think. Now, that is not to say that mental attitude sins will not pop into your mind from time to time. They always do. But when they do pop into your mind, it doesn't mean that you have to be held hostage to these mental attitude sins that will rob you of your happiness and any joy in life. There are pertinent doctrines that you can focus on that will neutralize them so that you can have the abundant life that God has designed for all of us. But to live that abundant life, you have to learn. You can't live the abundant life that God has designed for us in ignorance. And so we are pursuing these mental attitude sins with all dispatch in order to be able to neutralize them in our own lives. It doesn't matter how much God has blessed you. It doesn't matter how many things you have. Another way of saying that, it doesn't matter how much stuff you possess. I can assure you, I have more stuff than I need. I have more stuff than I want. And I need to get rid of some stuff. I have a a barn. The whole bottom of my barn is stuffed with stuff. And everybody wants to accumulate stuff. They go to work and they work hard and they do all these things to accumulate stuff. And then there's ones of people like myself who are really working to get rid of stuff. I don't know, every person is different. Some people have enough sense to throw things away. But I don't think that particular strength resides in the Smith house. And we have the idea that someday we're going to need it. And as soon as we throw it away, we're going to wish that we didn't. So we just throw it away until it rots. Becomes of no use whatsoever. But the whole idea is not how much stuff you have. That's not what brings happiness. The only way to crack the happiness barrier is to rid your soul of mental attitude sins. And that is, in fact, not only a possibility, it can become a reality in your life once you have the knowledge to recognize and then how to dispense with these mental attitude sins. The one we are currently looking at is impatience. Anyone that doesn't have a page 19 of your printed notes, please raise your hand. And I'm not going to hurry Danny this time. I don't know how 18 got in there. There's a hole. Do you have... There's no 19s in there?
Well, here's another 19.
Oh, that's not a full page of 19s. Let me just say, y'all be patient for a moment, okay? Well, we have a... I have a whole bundle of papers I handed out, or I was going to hand out to you, that had page 19 on the top, and there's no more 19s in there. Okay. Well, if you don't, how many of you have 19, page 19? Cindy, will you share? You don't have one. You have one? You found some? Snarl. Does everybody have page 19? All right.
Intractability looked like it was the same impatience.
Oh, okay. I'll forgive you. Okay, impatience. Let's start with point one again, go over this quickly. Some of you weren't here. The definition is a restlessness of spirit, irritation, and shortness of temper when delayed, to be anxious and or intolerant, not bearing pain with composure. That last one really resonates with me. Everyone, I believe, when they get hurt, when they injure themselves, I'm not talking about critically, but when you hurt yourself, I think, react differently. I've worked on construction sites for many years, and I've seen I don't know how many people get injured, small injuries, having a board about head high, looking at the ground and running into a board and putting a knot on your head, that type of thing. And everybody, it seems, reacts differently. Some people, these are the ones I can't get over, will hit themselves, their head or something, and just hold it and say, boy, I have to watch out more next time. And I look at them with awe. How do they do that? How can you injure yourself and be in pain and remain calm and have composure? Some of us tend to take revenge out on the board. Anyway, that can be in sickness or in injury. I never thought of patience being in that area, but it is part of patience. When you are ill, when you're infirm, is to just not be anxious about getting back online, getting back to full steam ahead. For some, it's easier than others, but that's certainly part of it. Point two, we are commanded to have patience. 1 Thessalonians 5:12 through 14. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those, referring to pastor teachers, who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, and help the weak. And at last of all, it says, be patient. The Greek word there is makrothumeo, and it's a present active imperative. See that P-A-M? That's what that stands for. Second person plural. The reason that's an M on the end of that, you may be wondering, why is that? The P is for the present, the A is for the active, and M is for the imperative. You don't have an I there because if you had an I, it would stand for the indicative mood, which is the mood of reality. That's why there is an M. And I told you to try to remember whenever I put this down as a mandate, which means an imperative, a command type mood. So that means we are to keep on doing this. We are to perform the action, have this patience, and it is a command. Long-suffering, this word comes from makros means long, and thumos means temper. It's usually rendered long-suffering or patient, to keep on bearing with everyone, even those obnoxious people that are so hard to tolerate. James 5, 7 through 8, be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. The word there for patience is hupomone. It literally means an abiding under. It comes from hupo, meaning under, and meno, meaning to abide. It's almost invariably rendered patience, to abide under whatever the burden may be. Romans 12, 10 through 12. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Underline that part there, patient in affliction. Everyone, as soon as affliction occurs, what are we ready for? We're ready for it to be over, aren't we? But it says to be patient. Point number three, the first thing mentioned above, about love is in the famous description given in 1 Corinthians 13:4 through 8 is, guess what? Patient. Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. So if you go to that famous chapter on a description of love found in 1 Corinthians 13, the first thing on the agenda is patience. Four, we have a great need for patience according to Hebrews 10, 35 through 36. Don't throw away your confidence, and in context that refers to your confidence in Bible doctrine, as something worthless like trash, which has great recompense of reward. For you need patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Now what is that? Let's look at this a little closer. This says that we need patience if we are to what? Keep our confidence. Confidence in what? You see, when you're bearing under pressure, when you're suffering, And sometimes you may suffer because of your stand, your faithful stand with regards to God's Word. You need patience, because it would be very easy for you to say, the heck with this. I'm suffering. I don't see anything happening. Why should I be the target of abuse when all I have to do is cave in and be like everyone else? Then the burden is off. This says, bear these things with patience. Don't throw your confidence away. Your confidence in what? Your confidence in the fact that God knows your suffering. The fact that He allowed this adversity to come into your life. The fact that you should have utmost confidence that He will see you through that adversity. And when He does, when you get on the other side, then you will be more spiritually mature. And when you are more spiritually mature, you're going to produce more divine good. And the more divine good that you produce, which is thinking as well as doing, then you have confidence that you're going to be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. And that is very valuable, because the moment that you get your focus off of that, what am I talking about? Spiritual things. The moment that you get your mind off of those spiritual things that you should have confidence in, your mind drifts over to the problem. And when it gets into the problem, then your soul is captured by mental attitude sins, and you start to suffer where it counts. The battlefield for the angelic conflict is your soul. It's either won or lost there. And when adversity comes into our lives, most believers become instant casualties because their mind is captured by mental attitude sins. But for us who are growing, we can recognize these sins in our soul, and what do? We confess those sins. We name those sins to God. Then what happens? We're filled with the Holy Spirit. We're operating on God's power. Then we can start concentrating on those spiritual things and have confidence, absolute assurance, that God's Word is true, that His promises are true, and that you can count on Him. And someday, God will not overlook your patience under fire. And you will be rewarded. Do you understand what this is saying now, and how important patience is? Some people will endure things for a while, but they say, there's a limit. How many times have you felt that way? How many times have you heard other people say that? I can endure this to a point, but then there is a limit, and when it reaches the limit, all bets are off, and I'm going to give myself the excuse to get over here and have a pity party. And to revel in mental attitude sins with the mistaken idea that it's going to make us feel better. Can you identify with that? Don't shake your head. I want you to ask yourself that. I already know the answer. I know you can, because I can. We all can. That's where we want to go. Our old sin nature wants to draw us over there every time. But this verse is telling us, don't throw away your confidence in God, your confidence that He will see you through it, that you're going to be better on the other side, stronger, and that someday you will be rewarded for that. Don't throw that away. Because the instant that you do, when you throw that confidence away, when you start to lose the big picture, and understanding that we all suffer, the issue is, how do we suffer? And I'm talking about in our soul. And when you're thinking divine viewpoint, and you say, okay, Lord, You know that I'm suffering. You know that I hate this. I don't want to go through this. But You've brought it upon me for a purpose. And I have Your Word on it, that as long as I'm trusting You, and I'm thinking divine viewpoint, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, I can handle it through Your power. And when you do that, you are able to accelerate in spiritual growth as long as you keep your focus and concentrate and keep your confidence. But when you lose that confidence, where do you go? Again, right back over here. And one of the first things that happens is self-pity. I owe it to myself just to lose it. You know what I mean? Lose it. Let your emotions well up and just whatever, however they express. So that's what this verse is talking about. It's very important. For we need patience that after we have done the will of God. What is the will of God? That we suffer through that adversity with patience, keeping our eye on the ball, keeping our confidence strong. Why it's happening? That you might receive the promise. What is the promise? I just told you the promise that He's going to see you through, the promise of great decorations and rewards someday that will last how long? Forever. The older I get, there's one thing that continues to impress me, and that is how short life is. Can't get over how fast. I can't believe that I've been on this earth going on 56 years. I used to think 56 years was just, well, that's just ancient. They might as well dig a hole and throw you in and kick the dirt in, because when you're 56, it's over. I mean, you're just a fossil. And now I'm looking at 80 year old people as not so old. Well, the younger people have a harder time understanding that, but you older folks, you know what I'm talking about. Point number 5. We must all acquire patience if we are to grow to spiritual maturity, because it is a very necessary part of developing the character of Christ. That's why we're here, is to develop Christ's character after we are believers. This says, count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold temptations. You see the little space after temptations? Right in there, trials, because that's what this word temptations means. This is the King James Version here. Now this is very important for you to see this. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold trials. In other words, what this is saying, as you're going through life and the bottom falls out and you have your worst day, absolutely everything has gone wrong. What is this verse telling us to do? Should we give ourselves permission to just emote? Should we get bitter? Do we have a right to be angry? What does this say? Count it all joy. You should be happy that those things occurred. Now that seems like it's incongruous, doesn't it? It seems like that doesn't make sense. But we're talking of spiritual things here. The unbeliever would look at this and say, well, that's silly. How can anyone have the worst day of their life and count it all joy? Now, how in the world does that happen? And yet, we are commanded to do this when these trials occur. Now, underline the very next word after trial, and that's going to explain a lot. Our temptations here. What is that word? Knowing. If you don't know something, you can't do this. You have to know something in order to fulfill this command. And it is a command. You, believer, when the bottom falls out, you are to count it joy. Are to be happy about it. Now, we have to be realistic here. We're not saying that when your house burns down and your dog is run over and your wife leaves you all in the same day that you should be giddy about it. That's not what this means. It means we should still have contentment. We should still be able to rise above it all without being devastated in our soul. Because we put it in perspective. I've already explained how you do that. And it says, knowing that the proving of your faith works patience. You know what life is in this context? You can identify it when you go to school. What happens when you go to school? You go and there's someone teaching you and you learn things. But what eventually is going to come around? A test, right? You remember tests, don't you? Well, I don't know if they give tests anymore, but they sure did when I was in school. And I hate it on Fridays. I had mixed emotions about Fridays because Fridays meant the weekend was real close, but it also meant test day a lot. I wasn't too fond of the test. But in any case, that's what we're talking about, to prove your faith. Why did you take tests? In order to prove that what you knew stuck, that you really knew it, that you could apply what you know, right? And that's what we're talking about in the spiritual realm. When you are under adversity, one of the purposes is to test your faith. And the more doctrine you have in your soul, the more faith that you have. Or I should say, the stronger your faith. It has to be based on knowledge. So knowing that the proving of your faith works patience, that's through testing, and let patience have its perfect work. There is a purpose for testing and adversity, so it will have a perfect work, that you may be perfect, and here the word means mature. Well, we're never going to be perfect. There was only one perfect person, that was our Lord. But so that you might be mature, spiritually speaking, and entire, meaning complete, lacking in nothing. When you are a mature believer, you have so much doctrine circulating in your stream of consciousness that when adversity strikes, you have the knowledge there to garner up these doctrines to neutralize the mental attitude sins. You have promises, you're grace-oriented, and you understand that God has allowed this for a purpose, and you start making wheel tracks that have to do with the Godward side, the spiritual side, rather than the carnal side. The carnal side, you're very familiar with. We all are. That's where we want to go. But it takes knowledge. It takes practice. Before we began, what were we singing? The name of this new song, Charge of the Elephant. Boy, I don't know if you... we're going to... I guess maybe in your song books, this is an idea I might do. Put the words of this inside the cover of our songbooks, because it's talking about exactly what I'm teaching is about the charge of the elephant, so that you can withstand the charge of the elephant. But what do you have to be able to do before you can withstand the charge of the elephant? You have to be able to withstand the charge of the mosquito. And we get that every day. Sometimes it's not even a mosquito, it's just a gnat. Have you ever had gnats just would not leave you alone? What do you need? Patience. I nearly knocked myself out one time. The gnats made me so mad. I got to quit telling on myself. pretty silly, but that's what happens when you live. Can you picture someone having gnats not leaving alone? I'll get that gnat. Oh, it's good to have a sense of humor, isn't it? Yeah, we're laughing at me. What about if I had one of yours? Would you be able to laugh? So the whole idea here is to be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. More than ever today, you have to have a well-rounded foundation in biblical knowledge. If you do not, you will succumb to the many false teachings and so much of the error that is out there. I've talked to you about being in my garden and have folks drive up and challenge me, and I'm not the only one that happens to, and you have to be prepared. But not only for them, what about when someone in a family has a crisis? We had a family that had a little baby that was teetering on the verge of whether he's going to die or not. These things happen instantaneous, and you have to have in your soul what this says. You have to be mature and you have to be complete. And what does that? Patience. That's the work of patience. One more thing before we go to point number 6. We have to be patient with each other. You need to have patience for your children. We all want our children to shine, but we have to give them enough freedom to make errors and correct those errors themselves. And we have to do, husbands have to do that with wives. Wives have to do that with husbands. And it takes discernment. It takes discernment in to know when should you be patient and tolerant and when should you take action. That comes with the filling of the Holy Spirit and discernment through doctrine. Point number 6. Other scriptures that address the issue of patience. We begin with Romans 15:1. Let's turn there. Romans chapter 15 and verse 1. Romans 15:1. Now we who are strong ought to bear with the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. You could put in your margin, or at least you should be thinking at this point, what are we talking about? We're talking about the law of expediency or the law of love. The law of love and the law of expediency that we went over in great detail really is an organized thought system of unconditional love. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, that is, his neighbor's good, and edification. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good and his edification. That's just thoughtfulness and manners. 3, for even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, and where it's written here, it says, the reproaches of those who reproach thee, underline thee if you want to know who that is, that's GTF, God the Father, fell upon me, which is Jesus Christ. What we're having here is an example. We have prior to this, the verse says that we should please our neighbor and not ourselves and be thoughtful towards them for their edification. Now we have a result. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches. What are reproaches? It's insults. It's vituperation. Derogatory, malicious, malignant things. It says all of that, of those reproaches, who reproach thee, referring to God the Father, fell upon me. Where did that happen at the zenith of this? Was on the cross. Remember, as Christ was on the cross, they mocked him, spit on him, made fun of him. And what it was, it's talking about Jesus Christ in this example was being tolerant and undergoing suffering for God the Father, and that's the attitude we should have towards others. By the way, that quote is a quote from Psalm 69:9, verse 4. Whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction. Earlier times when? The Old Testament. There's so many illustrations in the Old Testament. It's for our instruction, church age believers' instructions. This isn't saying we're in the Mosaic Law, but there's a lot of illustrations, and it says that through perseverance, you know the Greek word there? Hupomone, meaning patience. Through patience, hupomone, and encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Now, it takes perseverance or patience to grow up spiritually. It doesn't happen overnight. But we get encouragement from where? The Scriptures. And when we get that encouragement, it means we might have hope. This word hope in the Greek is elpis, E-L-P-I-S, and it means confidence. What did we read a while ago? Don't throw away your confidence. It has a great reward attached to it. And this is telling us that we need to have patience as we grow through encouragement from the Scriptures, because it's very valuable. Number five. Now may the God who gives patience, this is perseverance, this again is hupomone. Now I want you to, I'm going to read it again. Think about what you're hearing here. Now may the God who gives patience. Can you conjure up patience in every circumstance? Now think about that question before you answer it. Can you have patience under every circumstance? And the answer is yes, but it depends. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, if you have knowledge of doctrine, if you can think divine viewpoint from the wealth of doctrine in your soul, you can have patience in every circumstance. But if you don't have doctrine in your soul, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to have very little patience in any circumstance. That's the idea. So what is it saying? God gives us the patience. You can't conjure it up on your own. So when you're in a situation, wherever it is, and your nerves are running thin, where did I see this? I saw this just the other day. Someone was in a hurry, and the person behind the counter was talking on the phone, getting more and more impatient, and was, and of course this always happens when you're in a hurry, and the person on the phone kept saying, I'll get to you and all. You see, it's in those areas where, well, for me, maybe you could stand there till you are ready to receive Social Security. I don't know. Some of you already are. But anyhow, that would be a real test. And you have a choice. You don't have to blow a gasket. You can put it in. See, what really is in every one of these situations, we think, human viewpoint, the solution for me to get rid of this pressure inside of me that I don't like in your soul, it's impatience, it's just like it just builds up. The solution to this is what? To fix the situation. In other words, if you're in a hurry and you're at a light and it seems like it's an inordinately long light in your mind, what's the solution? For it to turn green so I can get on down the road. That's just the best illustration I could come up with out of the blue. I know you never have any problem with red lights. Some of us do. So when that occurs, the real solution is not the fix, the pseudo fix to what is ever ailing us in the sense of making us late or putting us behind or whatever it is. The real solution is in here. The real solution to get rid of the pressure is to see the big picture and say, okay, what is this? This is a test. Is it bad luck? No, it's a test. God is allowing this to happen so that you can think divine viewpoint and pass the test. And when you pass the test, what happens? You have more confidence, and confidence is of great value, has great reward attached to it. But if you don't do that, what happens? You keep getting the test. So, now that the God who gives patience and encouragement, He also gives encouragement, grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, that with one accord you may with one voice glorify God and Father our Lord Jesus Christ. This is just saying how important it is that we as a body, a church body, are of one mind, that we think alike. It's important that we all think alike. and that our thinking is based on the Word of God. And when we do that, we are in harmony, and we should tolerate one another and have patience. Turn to James chapter 5. James chapter 5 and verse 9. If this first phrase doesn't get you, I don't know what will. This is a command. Do not complain. Do not complain in talking to brethren. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, that you yourselves may not be judged. If you have judged there, strike it through, and it means disciplined. We're not judged, we're disciplined. This is James chapter 5 and verse 9. Do not complain, brethren. What do you do when you're impatient? What are you inclined to do? What's a manifestation, outward manifestation of impatience? What is it? Complaining. Don't people who are impatient complain? Well, this is part of it. He says, do not complain, brethren, against one another, that you yourselves may not be disciplined. Behold, the judge, and you might put somewhere in parentheses or in your margin, the judge is Jesus Christ. The judge, Jesus Christ, is standing right at the door. What is he standing at the door for? He's knocking on that door to get your attention. This is a great time to do this. Right here where we are, put something in your place here, and turn to Revelation chapter 3. It's important for you to know this. Starting with verse 14. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. This is out of the way a little bit, but I want you to see this. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the ruler of the creation of God, says this, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm, and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. This is cold or hot. This is saying that the believers were, he wishes they were hot, or cold means that if they were unbelievers, they could get the gospel. If they were believers that were mature and growing, they'd be hot. But this describes most churches today. They have an indifference towards the teaching of God's Word. That's lukewarm. They're not serious about their spiritual life or their relationship with God or fulfilling God's plan. This is describing these people. And he's saying, I spit you out of their mouth, would refer to sin and to death. He says, because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. This was a church that thought they had it all, and Christ is describing them as being miserable and poor and wretched and blind and naked. Verse 18, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire. There's a lot of symbols here that I don't have time to go through, but he says that you may become rich, and white garments, that you may clothe yourself, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes that you may see. This is talking about Bible doctrine, giving directions and so forth. Verse 19, those whom I love I reprove and discipline. Be zealous therefore and repent. Change your mind about your sins. This isn't changing their mind about Christ. Who is this written to? It's written to believers. It's written to a church. This whole context is about discipline. And then he says in verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. What is that? Warning, discipline. You're lukewarm. You're not growing. That's divine discipline. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, how do you open the door? When you rebound, when you confess your sins. I will come into him and he will dine with me. He will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. This is referring to the, again, being, having fellowship with the Lord. Do you see why I took you here? This symbol of the Lord standing at the door and knocking, so many people have misconstrued that to be that this whole area of Scripture has to do with salvation, which it does not. It has to do with divine discipline. The Lord is standing at the door and knocking to get your attention, you lukewarm believers. I'm not talking to you. I'm just talking about what the Scripture is saying. And he's getting your attention, it says right here, for rebuke, for discipline. And if you'll open the door by confessing that sin, recognizing that sin, that mental attitude sin in your soul, then you regain fellowship with him. That's what the knocking on the door is. People take it today that it means, well, we're to invite Christ into our heart because he's out there knocking on the door of our heart. And when we open the door, we let him in. That's receiving him in salvation. That's not what this is talking about. It's talking about divine discipline, not salvation. We don't do the inviting in salvation. God does. We have nothing to offer. We, by faith alone in Christ, receive the gift of salvation. He does the inviting. We do the receiving. Now turn back to James chapter 5. What brought on all of this? Verse 9. Do not complain, brethren. Who is this speaking to again? Believers. Do not complain, brethren, against one another that you yourselves may not be what? Disciplined. What's the view in view here again? Discipline. Behold, the judge is standing right out the door. Do you see the parallel here with Revelation chapter 3? Christ is standing at the door with warning discipline. And we are to open it by rebounding and regaining fellowship with him. Now, put a parenthesis in front of verse 10, because verse 10 and 11 are parenthetical. In other words, it's just a thought added in here. And in verse 10 it says, as an example, brethren, he's still talking about two believers, as an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. You see how this has to do with patience? Job, who needed patience? Big time. Job did. Everything was taken away from Job. He was in a most calamitous type of situation, and he needed patience. But was it bad luck? Did the Lord forget about him or what? No. What happened to Job eventually? He got everything back and more, got rid of some things he didn't need or was better off without, and was much closer to the Lord, and the Lord was actually showing Job off through this whole endeavor. But what did he need? He needed patience. That's what this is about. Now, our last scripture we're going to look at is Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. Colossians 1:9, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge, and this knowledge here is epignosis doctrine, that is knowledge that has not only been learned but has been believed, it becomes part of their soul, so that you be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. The Greek word there for wisdom is sophia, and for understanding is pseudasis. So that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge, again, epinosis knowledge, of God, strengthened with all power. That power occurs when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You're in the divine domain. According to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness, some translation says long-suffering, and patience. And then it says joyously. The Greek word for that is charas. C-H-A-R-A-S. Charas. Look at the key words in there. Filled with knowledge, wisdom, understanding, increasing in knowledge, bearing every good work. You have power in there. Steadfastness, patience, and joy or happiness. And an integral part of all that is patience. The moment that you think that you have suffered enough, you've endured enough, and give yourself permission to allow mental attitude sins to dominate your soul is the moment that you start really getting into misery. We don't have to do that. We have the ability to be patient and be able to take all of that adversity and put it into perspective and just wait. Wait on the Lord. That's all that the Lord wants us to do. When Sunday I gave you a few illustrations of the Exodus generation. And when they got to the Meribah incident, where they didn't have water, and everybody was thirsty, what were they to do? Wait. They were to cry out to the Lord, to trust the Lord, and just wait. And the Lord will come through. Now, what I'm saying is not easy in the flesh. In fact, it's absolutely impossible. There will be times when if you rely on your own power and your own ability to wait and be patient, it won't happen. The only way that you are able to accomplish this is through the filling of the Holy Spirit. So whenever you start to be anxious, whenever you're tired of waiting, whenever you get irritable and you're ready to complain and all the other things, take your focus and notice these mental attitude sins in your soul, confess them, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, then you have the ability to wait without complaining and be patient and watch the Lord work it all out. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank You for this encouraging and inspiring words from the Scripture that we can endure. We can be patient and wait on You and not have to endure that galling and unpleasant pressure that builds up. We pray that You will help us to notice this in our own life, how to deal with it through focusing upon the spiritual dynamics that You have made available to us so that we can indeed count it all joy when we fall into various types of trials. Because You give us the ability to do so. We pray that You will help us to understand these things and apply them in our lives. For we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.